Our gospel lesson today is from the book of Matthew, beginning at chapter 11, beginning at the 16th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating or drinking, and they say, 'He's a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom has vindicated her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. No one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Dear Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Congratulations, the USA. We made it to 250 years. Let's pray for 250 more. Our hymns remind us of how blessed we are to live in this country. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies. This is my song, O God of all the nations. And God bless our native land. We are blessed to live in a democracy, and we need to be aware of other lands and nations who do not enjoy this luxury. First time I preached a sermon in this church was 1959. I was a 20-year-old sophomore at Northern Michigan College. I was quite involved in Messiah, sang in the choir, attended Lutheran Student Association. I taught Sunday school. John Magnuson was one of my students. But when his dad, Pastor Magnuson, asked me to preach, I was stunned and honored. Preach? Me? Why me? But I remembered my dad's admonition when I was in high school. "Son, if you are asked to preach, you must say yes. It is God calling you." So here I am, 67 years later, preaching at Messiah. I guess I've come full circle. What an honor it is. And yet, I have always found it easier to preach in front of people who don't know me very well. It's not as easy when you've been sitting next to people every Wednesday night for 15 years to preach to them. We find it difficult to share our faith with one another, even in our congregations. But I think we must sometimes dare to step out of our comfort zone and share the faith, our faith, with those who know us best. And so here I am. Today, I'm going to focus on two passages from our gospel and how these texts relate to our future as Christ's church in Marquette, Michigan. First, from our gospel text from Matthew 16 and 17. Second, from Matthew verses 28 to 30. And then third, and last, and maybe best, I don't know, how do these texts relate to this congregation at this time in our experience without a pastor? Well, Jesus says, to what will I compare this generation? It's like children sitting in a marketplace, calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. He did dance for them. He performed miracles for them. He danced to the wedding and changed water into wine. He danced to the sick and he healed them. He healed lepers. He raised Lazarus from the dead. And he made the paralytic walk. Yet his dancing was not enough for them. He made his own music and they just didn't get it. Many of us still don't get it. He is the Christ. He is our Savior. Listen to his music. Jesus was frustrated. After all, he was human too. They didn't listen to the prophets, and they didn't hear his message either. He danced for them. His dance was performing miracles. It was a hard message and a dangerous one because it challenged Jewish law and made the rulers of the government very nervous and upset. If we were there, and if I were there, what would I have done? What would you have done? Are we any different? Are we really listening? Next, from verses 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. In contrast to the frustration expressed in the previous reading, here Jesus offers a message of rest and relief from our burdens. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. The story in today's Christ in Our Home is about a couple riding a tandem bicycle. They had to work together as a team. They were able to ride further and longer than when they were riding alone. When we team up with Jesus, we can lead others to know his will for us and motivate us to want to live our lives as God wants all of us to live. Jesus says, come to me. Take my yoke upon you. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Some of you may not know what a yoke is, but I'll try to give you an example. Think of a four-foot-long timber with chains at the end hanging down and yokes the oxen together like a harness on a horse. It joins them together to make a team of two individual animals. Jesus invites us to join his team. He wants us to become yoked with him. When we team up with Jesus, we are energized, and we can use that energy to be role models for Christ-like living in our church, in our homes, and in our communities. Yoked with Jesus, we can come together as one and prayerfully seek God's will for us as a church. Which leads me to my third point. How does this relate to our congregation today? Many of us are frustrated and anxious over what comes next for Messiah. Jesus invites us to be yoked, to be empowered, to accomplish what we may not be able to do without him as our partner. Learn from me, he says. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. And I will help you through this transition. 3 weeks ago, Paul Morin shared that during our time of transition, when we are without a permanent pastoral leadership, it is up to all of us to get involved in the mission and outreach activities of our church. His final admonition was a challenge. If we want a dynamic pastor, we must be a dynamic congregation. I visited Vacation Bible School last week. Wow, talk about dynamic energy. Take a look at the slides out there in the Netflix after the sermon. And you'll see some energy. Talk about dynamic energy. 30 and more children with 15 or 20 adults, grandparents, parents, teachers, musicians, retirees, confirmation students, recent high school graduates, Pastor Steve, and members of the church council were all there. The theme was connections. What a wonderful display of connections for pupils and their leaders. It was a great model of an energized church. They were all together. That's exactly what yoking is. If you have not seen the video, Running in the Foyer, take some time after church to take a look at it. It's inspiring. That's what makes a loving family of Christ. And Paul's admonition speaks to every one of us. If we want a dynamic pastor, we must be a dynamic congregation for that person to come and visit and see and catch the flavor of our excitement. We have an opportunity to help lead us to the next generation of being Christ's presence in this community. Who will help us discern what God is calling us to become? Who will lead us? I think the answer is, with the Holy Spirit, it is us. The church council needs input from all of us in order to make good decisions about what our future mission and what our leadership needs are to realize that mission. The council is forming a group that will lead the transition. Please pray for them. We are, in a manner of speaking, five congregations in one. The Saturday evening group, the 8:30 worshipers, the 10:30 folks, the radio, and the live stream members, which I forgot to welcome earlier. Welcome. We're certainly glad you're here with us today. We hope you come back often. It seems to me that we need to find a way to yoke all five of our churches into one body of Christ. Why not attend all three services some weekend? Listen to the radio service some morning. Tune in to the live stream. Each is a different and worshipful experience. Getting to know one another is like being yoked to each other and with the Lord. We become a family of loving Christians who are one body in Christ. When we make an effort to know each other and love each other, we are becoming the church. The church is not a building. It's not an altar. It's not the pyramids, or the banners on display. It's not the Bible. It isn't the music or the preacher or the preaching. The church is the people. We are the church. The people of God joined together, loving God and one another. That is the church. We are the church. Jesus is calling us to unite as one, to be a beacon of hope for each other and for our world. He is calling each one of us to be his disciples, to be his models of living a Christ-like life, to be a sermon for all to see by the lives we live. Jesus wants us to model by our lives the faith we profess in the Apostles' Creed. Jesus wants us yoked with him and with one another. Let us pray. Yes, Lord, bind us together. Bind us together with Jesus. Bind us together with love. Amen.